Praise the Lord for that. It was a blessing. Goes right along with the message tonight as well. Psalm chapter 95. If you would please turn your Bibles to Psalm 95. Thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight. Never take it lightly. The privilege to be able to stand up here and preach to each and every one of you tonight. I'm thankful that the pastor gives us those opportunities to do that. It is great to be back. This is my first time up here talking since I was up here blubbering at Thanksgiving service. So it's and then at that time there was no thought of us coming back. The Lord did all that in a very short amount of time. We're grateful for it. Never would have thought I'd be back here. And if you'd asked me a year ago if I thought I'd be here doing the music, I would have laughed in your face, because I had no desire to do that at all. It's just what God has done in mine and in Hallie's heart this past year, and just excited to serve him and thrilled to be back home here at Lighthouse. The Lord has done a lot in my heart to kind of bring me to this place of having a desire to have an impact on the music of the church. And the word sing is mentioned 119 times in the Bible. It's mentioned, the form of the word sing is mentioned 190 times, and a form of praise is mentioned 313 times. So singing, praise, and thanksgiving to God is a very necessary part of worship, and it's something that God has given me a burden for. And without those things, without singing, without praise, worship would not be complete. We wouldn't be able to worship God as He intends us to worship Him. And so I'm going to preach one of those dreaded music director sermons tonight. Hopefully I didn't lose any of you by saying that. And I could stand up here tonight and tell you my convictions. I could stand up here and explain to you our church's policies, our church's music philosophy, and what is proper, what is right. I could do that. Or I could stand up here and tell you what you should listen to, what you shouldn't listen to. I could stand up here and even attempt to explain the theory of music and how the certain progressions of notes or certain progressions of chords will take away from the message of a song and what we would call inappropriate for church. I could do that, but I don't feel that's what God has for us tonight. Tonight, I'm really just gonna preach on for a few minutes on why we should sing, why we should praise. And sitting down and thinking about this and what God has for us here tonight, I truly believe that the right focus and the right reason for our singing will fix all those other problems that I just mentioned. If we really recognize and think about why we sing, why we have the music part of the service, why we sing congregationals, why we sing specials, why the choir sings, if we really truly grasp the whole reason for all of it, those other issues that many churches have won't even be an issue, because true praise and true worship through song is all pointed and directed to God and nothing else. The right music will be sung. Those in the choir and those that are singing specials will sing with the right spirit behind the song. And the congregational singing won't be a 3 to 5 minute spot a part of the order in the service. It will actually contribute to the worship of the congregation. So if we would tonight just stand and read this passage together, Psalm chapter 95. Psalm 95. Says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with the generation, and said, it is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to be in your house on a Wednesday night. Lord, I pray, God, that as Our Bibles are open, God, and as we're about to, Lord, for a few minutes, Lord, just look at this text and what you have for us from it, God, that, well, first of all, there be nothing between you and I at this moment. God, I want to please you in what I'm doing tonight, and I pray, God, that I would just be your empty vessel up here preaching to these people, and God, that it would be as encouraging to them as it was to me, Lord, looking at this passage, and Lord, I pray it be with every person in the congregation tonight. God, in order to receive your word, there's some things that they have to do as well. And I pray, God, that they would not hold any sin, any iniquity, any of that filthiness between you and them, God, but that they would, with an open heart and a clear heart, be able to receive your word tonight. Lord, bless us for these next few moments. We ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing we find here in Psalm chapter 95, verse 1 and 2, is an invitation to sing. An invitation to praise the name of God, an invitation to worship, an invitation to offer thanks. He says there, oh come, let us sing, let us make a joyful noise, let's be thankful. And he's not really just speaking about an individual singing or an individual worship or a private worship, but it is an invitation as to a public group to worship. For a public group to sing, for a public group to praise the name of God. A commentator I was reading just this morning said, every man is invited to praise God as well as he can. What God resists is insincerity. It does not matter how imperfect the praise may be if it is but sincere. This is an invitation for all. Those that can sing and those that can't sing. For the teenagers, for the children, for the adults, for the married people, for the unmarried people, for everyone. It is an invitation for all of us to sing praise to the name of God. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 113 says, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. In the New Testament, in the book of Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So why does God deserve our praise? Why should we sing? Why should we praise his name? Why should we offer a joyful noise unto God? First thing we find here in this passage tonight, we offer him praise because of salvation. We offer him praise because of salvation. Here in verse 1 it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock or the strength of our salvation. You ever around those Christians that are miserable to be around? There was this man that I heard about that inherited a parrot. Death in the family came, and I don't know which straw he would have picked to receive that, but he inherited that parrot. And as he inherited that parrot, he's pretty excited about it. He'd never had a bird, and he thought maybe he could teach it to say some pretty cool things. And as he got this parrot, to his surprise, this parrot was very rude to him. Every time he'd go up to the parrot to train it, the parrot never said thank you for any of the treats he gave him. The parrot would talk down to him and call him names and be mean to him and make fun of him and laugh at him. And it really started to wear on this man and hurt the morale of the home. So he, one day after being ridiculed by this parrot for the final time, decided that he had enough, and he took that parrot, tied it up, threw it in a bag, and put it in the freezer. A few hours later, he started to feel kind of bad about what he'd done, and he ran to the freezer hoping to find the parrot alive, and he was. And as he pulled the parrot out and untied him, the parrot started to apologize and ask for forgiveness. He said, I have wronged you in the way I have spoken to you, Master, and whatever you say, I will do. And from now on, I will never say another mean thing to you. The man forgave him. After that, the parrot said, by the way, what did that turkey do? The parrot had a change of heart because he realized what he had and he realized what he deserved. Every one of us tonight deserve to die and go to hell. And everything we have right now is much better than we deserve. You know, saved people should be the happiest people on earth, but sometimes, and it's sad to say, it's quite the opposite. We have much to complain about. And you think about the people in this world with no eternal hope, the people that don't know Christ, the people that aren't saved. They don't know what Jesus did for them. They don't know the payment that he made for their soul. They don't know that all it takes is simple dependence in Christ and what he did to receive heaven. They don't know that. And we should be able to sing praise to God tonight because we know we have a Savior. During World War II, there was a detachment of the American Army that just came up on this French village that the enemy had just fled from. And as they went into this village, the people in the town just started to come, and they started a parade, and they were singing, they were dancing, they were shouting thank you to these soldiers and giving them gifts and putting things around their neck. And these soldiers, many of them welcomed it with open arms, but there was one man that was very annoyed by the response of these village people. And he was speaking to some of the soldiers and said, I don't understand. I don't mind saving these people. I don't mind helping them, but I don't understand what the big deal is all about. And that other soldier that he was speaking to, he said, that's because you don't know what they've been saved from. Maybe if we're not praising God as we should, and maybe if we're murmuring and complaining, and maybe if we're not as thankful and as in love with God as we should be, probably because we have forgotten or really don't even know what we've been saved from. He deserves our praise. Think of where you would be without Christ. Think of where you would be without him. We have much to praise him for tonight. Amen. We can offer him praise because of salvation. We can also offer him praise, secondly, because of his power. Because of his power. Psalm 145, verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. We have a powerful God. First thing we see about his power there in verse 3 is that he is a sovereign God. Verse 3 says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The book of Revelation, you'll find in Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We serve the all-powerful, sovereign God. We can praise him tonight for that. He's sovereign, but also very quickly, secondly, he is a sustaining God. Verse 4, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. He is holding this world in his hands. Psalm chapter 54, verse 4 says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. The 107th chapter of Psalm says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We have a God, and we can praise him tonight because we have a God that's not only all-powerful, but a God that is loving, a God that is sustaining, a God that is providing, a God who tells us that we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. We can praise him tonight for that. He's also the creating God. Verse 5 says, the sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. You know the 100th Psalm? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. Book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You know, God didn't just create us. He created us for his pleasure. He created us so we could fellowship with him and worship him and praise his name. He deserves our praise. You know, you may find yourself in a financial rut today, but you can praise him because he's a sovereign God who's in control. You may find yourself alone and maybe not surrounded by the loved ones that were with you this time last year, but you can praise him because he's a God that is your helper and a God that says he wants all your cares. You may find yourself in a trial or a temptation. You may look at your life and you may be overwhelmed by the circumstances, overwhelmed by the things of this life, overwhelmed by the weight that is on your shoulders, but you can praise him for being a creator God who made this world. And if he made this world, he can deliver you from whatever that trial, whatever that temptation or weight is. He deserves our praise tonight because of salvation. He deserves our praise tonight because of his power. But he also deserves our praise because of the relationship he offers. Verse 7 says, for he is our God. He's not just the God. He's our God. I love being a father. When we lived in Georgia, we lived right beside, our house was on church property. And when I would come home for lunch or when I would come home at the end of the day, many times either Hallie would have the kids waiting for me or I'd call her and let her know I was coming. And as I would walk down the sidewalk, I would see our kids there at that glass door just waiting for me to come home. For some reason, they were excited about it, and they would stand there, and they'd jump up and down. Sometimes the boys would open the door and run out and see me, and that was something that I really looked forward to every day. But as I was thinking about that, just as much as I looked forward to it, it was something that was a very big deal to them, to know that their dad was home, to know that I was coming home, and it was very important to them, knowing that I was there with them. Can I tell you tonight, no matter where you are in your life, God is there. He's with you. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." He's always there. We have no reason to fear, because He is our God. What a privilege to have that relationship. He's our God, but also we see there in the second part of verse 7, we are His sheep. As His sheep, He owns us, He knows us, He leads us, He provides for us. We are His sheep. It's a privilege not to have to depend on our own selves. All we have to do is follow Him. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He's our shepherd. And according to that verse, we shall not want, because He is everything we need. Many years ago, one of the leading actors in England was invited to a party. And as he was at that party, many people knew who he was and recognized him and asked him if he would recite some things for the guests and do a few performances. The actor agreed to do that, and he asked if there was any request of the people. And this old preacher asked him if he would quote the 23rd Psalm. The actor knew the psalm, but it was a strange request. He'd never been asked to do that before. And he said, "I'll do it on one condition. I'll do it, and then when I'm done, I want you to recite it." The old preacher said, "Well, I'm old, and my voice is almost gone, but I will do my best. I will agree to do that." Story goes on that actor stood up there and quoted the 23rd Psalm in a very powerful and profound way. His voice inflection and the way he spoke and his enunciation of everything was perfect. And as he finished, people stood up and they clapped for that performance. Then that old preacher stood up as it was his turn, and he walked up and in a very weak voice, stuttering and having to stop to gather the words at times, he recited the 23rd Psalm. As he finished, the story says that no one clapped, but that there were eyes filled with tears and people on their knees praying to God. The actor rose to his feet and he told them this. He said, "I reached your eyes and your ears, but this man has reached your hearts." And he said, "The difference is just this. I know the 23rd Psalm, but this man knows the shepherd." He deserves our praise tonight because of salvation, because of his power, because of the relationship that he offers. That's all the reason we need to praise his name. It's a simple thing. It's what he deserves. It's what we should do. The mood here is about to change in the passage. From the end of verse 7 to verse 8, David goes from praising the name of God and speaking of why we should praise God to giving a warning there to the children of Israel. It's a warning, but it's also a, if you look at it, a cause of a failure to truly, to correctly praise the name of God. And a cause of failure to worship God. Let's look at that together, verse 8. It says, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. David there is first of all, warning them against a hard heart. And when he was warning them against a hard heart, he began by speaking of those who escaped Egypt but failed to possess the land of Canaan. We will find those people there in Exodus chapter 17. God had recently delivered his people from Egyptian bondage. And in Exodus chapter 5 through 14, if we looked at it, we would find the 10 plagues. And then we would find the parting of the Red Sea. That ends in chapter 14. In chapter 15, we find the people singing a song of praise to God for how he delivered them from that bondage and from the Red Sea. The Israelites, in the second half of chapter 15, after they were praising God, there in verse 22, they begin to grumble at Marah because they were thirsty. But after they murmured, God provided a means of sweetening the water and blessed them again. Shortly afterwards, after they got the water, they began to grumble for a lack of food. And they said, would to God we have died in the wilderness, Moses. It'd be better to be full slaves than to be hungry out here. And God, in chapter 16, gave them both manna and meat. Chapter 17, again, they were camped at Rephidim. And again, they find themselves with no water. In verse 1, they begin to quarrel with Moses there. And Moses then tried to point out that their grumbling and their murmuring was really not against him, but against God. He said, is the Lord among us or not? And then the people there were so angry with Moses for speaking those words to them that they began to want to stone Moses. We see the children of Israel in just these few chapters going from miracle to miracle to miracle. Getting blessing after blessing. And every time they ran into a roadblock, every time they ran into an obstacle, every time it seemed like it got tough, God ended up providing. But we still find this cycle of them as God provided, and then as the blessing seemed to dissipate for a moment, they would immediately, instead of trusting God, they began to murmur. And we usually only find them praising the name of God when something good had happened. Miracle after miracle after miracle, and they still did not have enough faith to trust that God was going to do something and praise his name anyways. It was because of a hard heart. And also, need I remind you, during all of this, every time their water would run out, every time they would get hungry, every time things seemed to get a little hard, during the day there was a pillar of cloud. At night, he showed his presence by a pillar of fire. Even when it got rough, they could visibly see the presence of God. And they would still murmur. He was always there. But their hard heart had blinded them. And when circumstances got tough, they did not see a reason to praise God. He then warned them against unthankfulness. He told them, for 40 years I've been grieved at you in this wilderness. There was a punishment for that. None of them were going to enter the promised land. They just had that mediocre wilderness life. Immediately after blessings, we find the children of Israel worshiping and praising God. But as soon as someone's water bottle ran dry, or as soon as a stomach began to growl, the complaining and murmuring began. Ungrateful, unhardened hearts. The children of Israel aren't the only example we find of trials in the Bible. If you look at the book of Job, we know the story. Job lost his family, Job lost his health, Job lost his wealth. Job had a reason in the world's eyes to complain, and we find the people that he was acquainted with trying to get him to curse God, but he wouldn't. And in Job chapter 13, in the midst of all this, Job said this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Job, unlike the Israelites in the midst of trials, did not turn on God. He trusted him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three young men that were just trying to do right in the eyes of God. They were told to bow down to the king, and they would not bow down to the king because the only king was their sovereign God, and they were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, we find them about to be thrown into the fiery furnace saying these words. They said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Well, what if God didn't? They went on in verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The faithfulness and trust in God did not stop when things got tough. Praise continued. So here's the question tonight. By your actions, by your worship, by your praise, are you grateful? Do you really understand who God is, what he's done, that he's always there? We've been given a reason to give praise. We've also been given a very clear warning on what to look out for tonight. If we're not praising God as we should, there's two reasons that we find here in the passage that it could be happening. First of all, it may be because you have a hard heart to God and to the things of God. Maybe blinded from the work God is trying to do. Maybe blinded from biblical truths. And if it's not that, probably just ungrateful. A grateful heart is going to praise God. A grateful heart will have no problem singing to God. So where do we fall tonight? Think about your circumstances of life. What label would you put on your circumstances? Would you say right now that you're in a time of blessings? You can praise God for that. Maybe you're out of water tonight. Maybe you're a little hungry. Maybe you're standing there in front of a Red Sea in life and not sure where to go. Can I tell you, you can praise him because he's always there. No matter what the circumstance of our life may be, we have a reason to sing. He's worthy of our praise. I got a story and then we'll be finished. There was another British minister. His last name was Sangster. He started to get muscular atrophy there in the 1950s, and it caused him to lose his voice and eventually caused him to lose his mobility. And Sangster realized that as these things were happening, that the end of his life was coming near, and he began to throw himself into praying for those around him and also into writing for those he loved and about God. And in the midst of all this suffering, he pleaded God. He said, God, let me stay in the struggle. I don't mind if I can no longer be a general in this life, but give me just a regiment to lead and to help. His voice eventually, the story goes on, says that it failed completely. He could no longer speak, and his legs became useless. And his last Easter morning, just a few weeks before he passed, he wrote his daughter a letter, and it said this: it is a terrible thing to wake up on Easter morning and have no voice with which to praise the Lord. But it would still be more terrible to have a voice and not do it. We have a reason to sing tonight. It's Jehovah God, who's always there, who's all-powerful, who's given us salvation, who offers a relationship to each and every one of us. we would have need of nothing else. Are you willing to praise Him tonight for who He is? Every head bowed, every eye closed. On Wednesday night, we don't have a musical invitation, but the altar is always open. If you need to do business with the Lord, you can do it at this time. We can praise Him because of salvation. We can praise Him because of His power. And we can praise Him because of the relationship He's offered. This time we need to search our hearts. Is there something between you and God? Do you have a hardened heart? Or are you just ungrateful? We have a reason to sing, and it is because of our God. Lord, we love You, and God, thank You for who You are. Lord, thank You for what You've done. Lord, I thank You, God, for the privilege it was to be in Your house tonight and worship You, Lord. And I pray that You'd help every one of us, God, to, Lord, as the church services roll around week by week, God, that we would not become calloused, God, to the work You want to do in our lives and through us in our worship to You. Lord, help us to remember, God, that we have a reason every moment of every day to praise Your name, no matter what the circumstance of life may be. And may we learn from the children of Israel, God, that no matter what the circumstance of life may be, You are always there and You will provide. Lord, bless us tonight. Lord, bring us back to our places on Sunday morning. Lord, we ask this in Your name.